If you have a Bible this morning, turn to John 14. There's a Bible underneath your pew there. You can grab that or you can read along on the screen. Here's what John 14, 1 through 7 says. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going. No, we don't, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That phrase is one of the most famous phrases that Jesus ever said. If you have gone to church, even for a little while, you've probably heard that verse. Somebody mentioned that verse. Somebody talking about that verse. We are continuing this morning in our I Am series. And if you haven't been here for a few weeks or for this series, let me catch you up. The series, we have looked at the idea of I Am. How God identified himself over and over and over again in the scriptures as I am. That's how God described himself. I am. John tells us why John wrote his gospel. John 20, 31 says, but these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. So the purpose of John's account is to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And that is why he is, it's why he came, it's why he wrote his book, it's why God sent Jesus in the first place, that he is the Son of God, he is the Messiah. Of course, then, it makes sense that 9 different times in the book of John, he records Jesus saying the same thing, I am. And we talked about how 2 times Jesus simply said, I am, as in, I am God. 7 other times, he added a descriptor to I am. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. And this morning's statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am. So this morning, I don't want to mince any words. None. This morning, I'm going to tell you that Jesus is very clearly making some very direct, very matter-of-fact statements about himself, about who he is and what that means. This, John 14 and 15 and 16, is his last address to the 12, his closest disciples. This is his final speech, if you will, his final sermon before he gets crucified. So this is kind of important stuff, right? This is really important that we hone in on what Jesus is saying here. He is about to be betrayed and crucified. And we have said this in every sermon, but it bears repeating. Every time Jesus said, I am, he is saying, he is God. Make no bones about it. Jesus is claiming that he is God. He is God's Son. He is part of the Godhead. He is saying that he is with God, was with God in the beginning, and he will be with God in the end. He is I am. Listen to Hebrews 1:1-3. It says, long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now, in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son, he created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. So, you want to know how you have access to God? It's by believing in Jesus, the one God sent. That is the whole purpose of John's gospel. So Jesus is saying that he is God and that believing in God is what sets us free from a life of sin and shame and destruction. What does it mean to believe in God? What does that mean? Well, Jesus speaking to his disciples, who, of course, were good Jewish men, for good first century Jewish men. They knew what I am means, that Jesus was saying that he was God. Anyone know the Hebrew term for God? Anybody? Yahweh. Yeah, it was such a holy word that the priests, they wouldn't actually write the vowels. They would just write YWH. They would, so as, because even writing the name of God was too holy. That's what Jesus is claiming here. I am Yahweh. Is there any wonder why, with statements like that, the Jewish people who didn't understand who Jesus was or why he was there, decided to kill him? Yahweh actually means to be, or the self-existing one. So this morning, I want to focus on three claims that Jesus is making when he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. C.S. Lewis once said, in Mere Christianity, actually, he said, listen, Jesus was one of three things. He was either a liar, he was a lunatic, or he was God. It boils down to those three things. Was he a liar? Or was he just a crazy person? Or was he God? There's no other solution. There's no other option to what he could have been. Jesus was either what he said and who he said he was, or he was crazy, or an absolute liar and con man. And this morning, and every morning, you have to make up your mind about whether or not, which one of those three that you think that Jesus is. And I tell you, since I was 12 years old, I have been convinced that Jesus is the Lord, that Jesus is God. He is exactly who he said he was. And for 31 years, he has never, ever, ever proven any of that wrong. Claim number one, I am the way. Jesus is claiming to be the only way. Can you imagine this? Jesus has spent 3 years with the disciples, 3 years of them following him around, 3 years of them listening to his teaching, watching him perform miracles, listening to him identify himself as the Messiah, the Son of God, and predicting his death, his burial, his resurrection. He did that. He said, I'm going to die. And 3 days later, I'm going to be raised again. He has told the disciples repeatedly that he was going to die. And they listened to him say that he was going back to the Father to prepare a place for those who believe in him. He has said that over and over. So here we are, 3 years later. The disciples have been with Jesus for 3 years, watching him, with him, walking with him, listening to him, all of that. Jesus talking about his death and what is about to happen and what he will do. And then you look and the disciples have no idea what he's talking about. 3 years. Thomas and Jesus have this interaction. Verse 4, and you know the way I'm going. No, we don't. We don't know where you're going. We have no idea where you're going. How can we know? Man, Jesus was so patient. Seriously. I'm sure I would not have been that patient. I would have been like, Thomas, what in the world, man? How do you not get this yet? I've been talking about it for 3 years straight. No, Jesus is patient and he's kind. That's why he's better than me, right? And he replies, you know, you want to know the way? I am the way. I am the way. I want us to notice Jesus' usage of the word here. The word, this word that I'm looking at is a little one, an innocent one, but something that mankind has argued over since the beginning of time. That word is the word the. I am the way. I am the way. When the word the actually is meaning I am the only way. This goes for each descriptive word here. The way, the truth, the life. Not a way. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying, oh, I'm a good way. But I am the way. The only way. Many times in my life, I have friends that have asked me, Sobek, yeah, I mean, okay, you love Jesus, and he, you know, he's the way, you know, or whatever, but how can you say that he's not a way? See, I think people are okay with the idea of a way. Like, yeah, you can believe in Jesus, and he can be a way for you to have goodness and holiness and access to God, but he's just a way. Folks, I want you to understand something here. Jesus doesn't say, I am a way. What does he say? I am the way. It's a big difference, is it not? Because here's what that means. Nothing else ever gets you access to God but through Jesus. And so basically what you're saying is everybody else, and we hate this in society, but it's the way it is because it's Jesus. He is saying everybody else is wrong. The way. Do we get that? If that is the case, if Jesus is the way, the only way, not a way, the way, how are you doing in communicating that message
to the world.
Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Friends, if we are hoping there is some other way to God, there isn't. Jesus is it. No amount of good works, no amount of being a good person, no amount of good karma, nothing else. Jesus is it. And then there are so many people out there say, you know, I love the teachings of Jesus. He's a great teacher and a great man, but he's not God. He never claimed to be the only way to God. He never claimed to be God. Show that verse, this verse here, when people say that. Can I say this? I get what they are saying, but they are believing a lie. Jesus here is saying that I am it. I am the only way. So either you believe in him as God or he's a liar. You can't think, oh, he's a good man, but he's not God. He said that he's God. So either he is a good God or he's a liar. There are so many reasons that I believe in him. I believe that he is God. I believe that he is the only way to have access to God the Father. But the question isn't for me this morning. The question is for you this morning. Do you believe? Do you believe that the only way to God is through Jesus? If we think that perhaps there is some other way this morning, well, let's be honest with ourselves. We just really don't believe what Jesus said. Claim number two. These will be quick. I am the truth. Jesus is claiming that he is the source of all truth. The Greek word for truth, aletheia, is used many times in the New Testament, but over half of these, the times that he uses that word is used is in John's writings. This is one of John's major themes. And that theme is that Jesus is the truth. This was not because John thought it was important, but it was because it was one of the main themes of Jesus. Jesus talked about truth all the time. John 17:17, sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth. I was reading an article in Christianity Today this week about truth. It said this, truth is far more than facts. It's not just something we act upon. It acts upon us. We can't change the truth, but the truth can change us. It sanctifies, which means to be set apart. It sanctifies from the falsehoods woven into our sinful nature. As Christ, the living word, is truth, so his written word is truth. Though heaven and earth will pass away, God's truth never will. That's what Romans 2:15 says. It tells us that God has written his truth on human hearts and in the conscience. Shame and twinges of conscience come from a recognition that truth has been violated. When the world hears truth, if spoken graciously, many are drawn to it by the moral vacuum they feel. The heart longs for truth, even the heart that rejects it. You know how I know this is true? There are reasons why these good, wholesome videos go viral. You know, like I played this a couple years ago, but it's one of my favorite videos is the kid with autism that was the manager for the team, and he gets in the game, the last game of the season, he just all of a sudden he just hits three after three after three. You know, there's this kid that like had never played a game of basketball before, you know, and I think he hit six threes in a matter of like 5 minutes in the game, and people were going nuts for him, and the crowd went from kind of mocking him to cheering for him, and just they couldn't believe it, and everyone's going crazy. That video got played over and over and shared, and ESPN played it, and it was like the video SP of the year, and like, you know why we love those type of videos? Because buried in those videos, buried in those feel-good things are elements of truth. That the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. and the least of these are important and they matter to God. That's why they get so huge and viral, because the truth of God is in them. Truth is far more than a moral guide. When Jesus declared, "I am the truth," he didn't say he would show the truth, or he would teach the truth, or he would model the truth. He is the truth. Truth personified. He is the source of all truth, the embodiment of truth, and therefore the reference point for evaluating all truth claims. God's word is true. John 1:14 says, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us." 2 Corinthians 4:10 says, "So the truth is the life of Jesus, which is manifested in us." When we compare his life to our lives and see how enormously different the two of those are, then a light begins to turn on for us. The truth is that the light which shines into our lives and reveals what we really like are like by nature, it reveals the way that we must walk in order to be transformed into the image of Christ. The first step on the way of truth is taken when Jesus shines his light into our lives and we acknowledge that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. We need atonement and we need justification. And when those things happen, it causes us to repent and to ask God for help. That's what Jesus is claiming. The third claim: "I am the life." Jesus is claiming that he is the source of eternal life. Later on in John 14, Jesus asks Philip, 14:9-11, he says, Jesus replied, "I have been with you all this time, Philip, and you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do." Once again, Jesus is equating himself with God, his Father. And what does he say? He says, "Believe, believe." Church, Jesus holds the keys. He does. If you want access to God, it only comes through Jesus. He holds the keys to the kingdom. He holds the keys to eternity. Jesus is the only way. John 5:22-23 says, "In addition, the Father judges no one. Instead, he has given the Son absolute authority to judge, so that everyone will honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Anyone who does not honor the Son is certainly not honoring the Father who has sent him." Later, after his resurrection and his death, Jesus instructs the disciples in Matthew 28:20, "Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus holds the keys. The keys to eternity, to freedom, to eternal life. No one receives life, the full, abundant life that your soul longs for. Nobody receives that without coming through him. He sets your soul, your mind, and your heart free. However, make no mistake. Make zero mistake in this. Jesus is very exclusive. No amount of good deeds, no amount of positivity, no amount of giving to the poor, no amount of volunteering, none of that will get you anywhere with him. He sees your good deeds, and if you do not believe, it's like you're putting your faith in rags. All those good things, while still good things, they're just merely things. Jesus is all that matters. Knowing Jesus is all that matters. Knowing the truth is what sets you free. Jesus is the truth. Do you know him? Do you know him? Because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. Do you know Jesus? If the answer is yes, he wants to set you free today. He wants to set you free this morning.